All right, thank you. So let's all stand together if you are able for the reading of the scripture, John chapter number 4, and we will start in verse number 4. John chapter number 4. Verse number 4. John chapter 4, verse 4, we're going to look at a familiar story and get some thoughts out of here this morning. John chapter 4 and verse 4, we'll begin reading there. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou being a Jew askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee drink, living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep, from whence thou hast that living water. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never first thirst again. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Then saith the woman unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come thither to draw. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for your word. I pray, Lord, as we look at this story, that we would be encouraged and helped. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Jesus lived for 33 years. We know that. Three of those years, he was actively involved in ministry. He was preparing for his death. He was preparing his disciples to take over. And Jesus at that time he had time for people, but Jesus was busy. There was always something going on. His whole ministry on this earth was packed into those 3 years. Most people in here, when we talk about being busy, you can kind of connect with that, right? You have to commute to work. You have your work hours. You have your things going on, and life can get busy. By the way, it's not when we're up where my in-laws live. Life doesn't speed up when we're there. Life slows down, okay? When on the farm, it's just like, you know, it's like you start to twitch. Like, what is going on here? We're so used to just run, run, run. But we're in that area, and we're in that time of life where we're just busy like Jesus was. But it's very interesting in this story that although Jesus was busy, he had things to do, we see that he had something that the Bible says he needed to do. Bible says, and he must needs go through Samaria. Although he was traveling not to Samaria, he was going somewhere else, the Bible said he had to go through Samaria. He needed to do this. He went out of his way, and he kind of added this into his schedule as he was going there. Why did he go there? There was a lady at the well that he met. His disciples were away, and so here he is by himself, and he starts having a conversation with this Samaritan woman. She was the very reason that he went there, out of his way. Now, Samaritan, as you understand, we've mentioned on time before, they were kind of half-breeds. They were kind of looked down upon by the Jews, and especially in that time, for a man to talk to a woman alone was a little bit, especially a Samaritan woman, would be out of character for the culture. But yet Jesus did that. He's talking to her. She was kind of, she kind of figured that out too. Why did Jesus talk to her? Well, the conversation gets to salvation. He starts talking to her about eternal life and how she can have that. that is why Jesus had to go that way, because there was a lady there that needed him. And because that lady needed him, he was willing to go out of his way to have this appointment with her. Since the day we were born, there was an important relationship that we needed to establish, just like that lady needed to establish with Jesus Christ. And it's the relationship that God wants to establish with us. This relationship he wants us to have is made possible by the life and the death of Jesus Christ. And by the way, this is a relationship that's beneficial to us. In John 10:10, it says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." And he only mentions the word might because it's really our decision whether or not we want to accept it. Jesus is the only way to this life. He says that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so this is the basis for the relationship that Jesus wanted to have with this woman, and he wants us to have with him. I'm glad that he wants to have a relationship with us. I'm glad that he loved us enough. I'm glad that he loved her enough to go do this thing that he needed to do so that she could establish a relationship with him. But what kind of relationship is this? I see four parts to this relationship that he needed to do and that we need to understand. First of all, I want you to see that it was a seeking relationship. It says, and he must needs go through Samaria. See, he was headed to Galilee. And to go to where he went in Samaria to meet this woman was actually out of his way. As I mentioned before, the Jews were not fans of the Samaritans, but not Jesus. Jesus went there because there was a woman that he was seeking. I want you to understand a couple things about this seeking relationship. You know, he seeks us even though we're not seeking him. This lady had no idea on that day as she went down by the well that when she was going to meet a man who was going to change her life forever. To her, it was just a regular day. To her, it was just like any other day. She was not seeking anything different. But yet here was Jesus Christ that she didn't understand until he met her, seeking her. Isn't that how God is to us? We know the verse in Romans chapter 3 where it says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. We understand that. That's part of the, when we talk to people about salvation, we need to understand that we're, none of us are righteous. Then it says this, there's none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. You see, the seeking relationship started on God's behalf. And sometimes you say, well, I know people that have sought for God because they already knew he was there and they knew he was seeking for them and something happened in their life. But that relationship all started because Jesus sought for us. It used to be popular in churches to have these services. They would call them seeker services. And they would gear that whole service, and they really didn't even want it to be like much of a church service for people that were seeking for God. But the Bible tells us really the whole relationship didn't start because we were seeking him. The relationship started because he was seeking us. Let us never forget that. Luke 19:10, where Jesus gave the reason why he came to this earth. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. You know, if Jesus is seeking after us before we ever sought after him, we must be a big deal to him. He seeks us, even though we didn't seek him. And he seeks us even though we're sinful. See, God doesn't look down and say, you know, there are some good people there. And these people are so good, I'm going to go down there and I'm going to seek to have a relationship with him. Compared to God, and by the way, we understand God is holy. There is nothing we do to make God want us. God wants us because of his love not because of anything on our end. So often we take our relationship with God and what God wants to do in our life so nonchalantly, when really, if we understand who we really are and we understand who He really is, it wouldn't be that way. There's nothing good about us in God's eyes. Oh, there is. He loves us and He wants to work in our lives, but we're just sinful beings. That is all because of His grace. Look at verse 16 of chapter 4. He tries to get this through to the lady. It was very easy, by the way. Verse 16, she goes, I want this water. Jesus says, okay, let's just share a thought here. Verse 16, Jesus saith unto her, go and call thy husband and come thither. He goes, okay, if you want the water, go get your husband, come back, and we'll talk. Now, he did this for a reason. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Kind of true. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands. She must have been Elizabeth Taylor or someone like that, right? And he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. And in this thou hast said truly. He goes, yeah, I know you don't have a husband. You've had five. And you're living with a guy. Now, what is Jesus trying to do? Is he trying to condemn her for her past? No. He is trying to get her to understand her past. You see, when we understand our past and we understand that we are sinners, it makes us want to come to Jesus, who wants to help us with that whole situation. I like what she says. The woman said unto him in verse 19, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. You think? Okay, he just called her out. He just told her everything going on in her life. She goes, you're a prophet. It's like, yeah, I think he is. What he was trying to do is get her to understand, listen, I understand the situation of your life, and you can still have this living water. By the way, sometimes we get so self-satisfied, we don't think we need Jesus anymore. We get so self-righteous, and I don't need Jesus. I can save myself. You can't save yourself. There's no way. Jesus wants to seek a relationship with us, even though we are all doing our own thing. So it's a seeking relationship. I want you to notice number two, it's a saving relationship. Verse 25, the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. And so as they're going in the conversation, it turns to the Messiah. She goes, I know the Messiah is coming one day. And what does Jesus say? Verse 26, Jesus saith unto her, I that speak with thee am he. See, his conversation turned. He wanted her to know that he was seeking for her, in spite of the fact that she wasn't seeking for him, in spite of the fact that she was sinful just like all of us are. But now we get to the part where it's a saving relationship. Jesus says, I am the Messiah. I am the one that was promised to come to die for the sins of the world. He pictures it with the water that they were talking about. Verse 13 of chapter 4, Jesus answered and said, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. He's giving an illustration of salvation. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst again. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up to everlasting life. Jesus said, you know, you look at the temporal water, you drink it, and that quenches your thirst, but you know you get thirsty again and again. What, you have to drink, I don't know how, you're supposed to drink eight-ounce glasses of water a day, probably more. Water's important. But you can drink all the water you want today, but you're going to need some more tomorrow. And Jesus says, but the water I'm going to give you, the eternal life I'm going to give you, that lasts forever. Jesus gives eternal life. And by the way, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ, you need to come and you need to meet him. We can do everything we can in our life. We can try to earn our way to heaven. You know, you can never earn your way to heaven. There is nothing we can do. Well, you know, I'm a good person. Compared to other people, I'm pretty sure you are. We can always find somebody that's worse than us, right? Well, I guess on the earth, if you're comparing yourself, there's got to be one person who is the worst. But for everybody else, we can compare ourselves to other people. But that's not the comparison. The comparison is to God and His holiness and His righteousness. And if we've sinned, we've blown it. Some people have the eternal scale thing, you know, here's my good on this side and here's my bad on this side, and you weigh them out, and if my good is more than my bad, I get to go to heaven. If my bad is worse than my good, then I have to go to hell. That's true, except for one thing. One sin weighs the scale down forever. You could do nothing but good your whole life, but if you sin one time, the scale is tipped in the balance of sin. And by the way, we know that we don't just sin one time. So Jesus came seeking her because he wanted to save her. But that's not it, not all there is. He wanted number three, a sanctifying relationship. He wanted to change her life. Verse 28. After he talks to her and the lady understands who he is, and I think she gets it. In verse 28 it says, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men. Why did she talk to the men? Well, number one, she probably dated most of them. And number two, the women probably didn't like her very much. But she goes into the city and she starts telling people. Verse 29, come. See a man which told me all things that ever I did, and boy did he. Is not this the Christ? She believes in Christ and runs back to the city, and she lets people know. And as she comes running into the city, I'm sure the people noticed that there was something different about her. Here she was, this lady that had a really checkered past, and now here she is talking about the Messiah, and that's different. By the way, when you trust Christ, if you change, people notice the difference. You start talking to them, and it's like, wait a minute, that's not what you used to run and talk to us about. That's not how you used to be. See, because what happens is when we trust Christ, now that relationship, and that's a big word, sanctification, that just means change. He wants to have a relationship with us, yes, so we are saved, and yes, so we can go to heaven, but he wants to have a relationship so that we are also different as we live on this earth. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. God wants us to be new. New. When you experience something new and better, you have a hard time putting up with something that's not quite as good. You see right through it. Last year, someone gave us a gift card to a steak place called Fleming's. Fleming's, I don't know what it means. It must mean very expensive. Okay? It's one of those places you go in there, everything you buy is separate. You don't get a plate that comes with a side salad. You pay for everything. And even though we had a pretty good-sized gift card, we still ended up paying a little bit. I knew we were in trouble. I go there, and we park, and next to me was like two Teslas and a Maserati. And I'm like, man, we are in the wrong neighborhood. We go in there, and we had their steak. And by the way, it was good. Say, how much did it cost? Listen. A day's wage, okay? We had a gift card, though. It was good. Somehow, after eating Fleming's, Sizzler's just not the same. Right? It's like you go to someone's house, and they fix you a homemade, great Mexican dinner. Taco Bell just can't compare with that. The Wiener Schnitzel can, but not Taco Bell. Listen, when you get saved and God offers you a better life, that old life just doesn't match up anymore because there's something so much better. And so this relationship that Jesus gave us that brought us to salvation, there's so much more wrapped up in it if we will let him. I just think of the things in my life that were changed when I got saved. I had a new relationship with God. Not like before when you don't even know him and you look at the Bible now and it's fresh. And speaking to God and knowing him. A new way of living. You know, you're not doing your own thing anymore. You're not on your own. You're not just bumping around without a purpose in life. Now you have something to live for. I had a new place to hang out, church. I hung out a lot of places before I was a Christian, but when I got saved, church and the church people and the church friends that God gave me, I had a new reason for living. I had a purpose in life now. It wasn't just getting up today and going to work and making money and what's the excitement for the weekend and when am I going to do this? It's like, no, now I had a future. I had a reason to live. I was living for God, and I knew he had some purpose for my life. It's all wrapped up within salvation. The last thing is this. It's a sharing relationship. She goes and she talks to the men, and it says, then they went out of the city and came to him. Why? Because she prompted them. She says, listen, I met this guy. He's got to be the Messiah. He's doing something in my life. You need to go see him too. And so what happens? They all start going out. And if you look at the end of the chapter, verse 39, and it says, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me of all that I did. They listened to what she said, and they're like, they went and saw him and said, she's right. They should believe what she said. But it also says, and many more believed because of his own word. Some of them looked at the lady and thought, she's a curiosity. Let's just go check out and see what's going on. And when they went there, they heard Christ, and it made a difference. But it's all because she decided to go tell others. You see, when you have something good, you're going to share it with somebody else. I guess that's one way to tell if your Christianity is real. Are you okay with talking to other people about it? So often we want to hide it, you know. Hey, you're different. What's going on with you? Oh, you know, I'm just trying to live the right life. Tell them why. Don't be afraid to say it. Say, hey, there's something going on. You just seem different. You seem happier. You seem like something's going on in your life. What is it? Just say it. Just say it. I met Jesus. I trusted Christ. I've been going to church. I've been getting in the Bible, and it's helping me. Now, they may look at you weird, like, but you know what? They'll never be able to argue against the changes in your life. Right. See, we're supposed to let people know. Fact of the matter is, if we know something that's good, and we know something that's helpful, and we know that anybody who wants it can have it, and we're not willing to tell them, that's kind of selfish. By the way, it's not like if we tell them about Jesus, we're going to lose Jesus. Yeah. Right? Hey, I found $1,000. Well, don't tell anybody. Unless there's another 1,000 over there for them, right? But like over there, it's anybody can have it. Let's share it. Amen. If that relationship has worked for you, and in that's a bad choice of terms, but if God is working in your life and that relationship is strong and you see the benefit of that relationship, why in the world would we want anybody else to? Well, you know, religion and politics, we don't talk about that. Well, then fine, don't talk about politics. And fine, don't talk about religion. Talk about what Jesus has done. Okay? Don't hide it. Sometimes I think we hide it because we really don't want to have it. We want just enough to make our consciences feel okay, but not enough to really make a difference to somebody else. Let's share it. This isn't a Friend Day message, but that's one of the reasons we do Friend Day. Because it just tells us to say, hey, take what's working for you. Take what you have found and show others where they can find it. Jesus came because he wanted to have a relationship with this lady. And really, Jesus came because he wants to have a relationship with us. How's that going? You hear this morning, if you haven't trusted Christ, that's the first step. But let me ask this, if you have trusted Christ, has it stopped there? Is God really working in your life? And if God is working in your life, are you sharing that with others so they can experience that? See, this is something Jesus had to do. It was that important to him to go out of his way for one lady. One. But think about it. When he left heaven to come to this earth, he went out of his way for all of us because he wants to have that relationship with us. Let's all stand together this morning.